morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
Leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and X Twitter, as she does every Thursday at this time. We're joined for a public service announcement by Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, Dr. K. Where are you?
Hey, good morning. I am on Duval Street in Key West, Florida.
I love Key West.
It is just like the weather is amazing. Although there's a little part of me that is sad because the weather is pretty amazing in Wisconsin right now, too.
It's
50 degrees right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty spectacular end of February anyway, even though we're going to live to regret this. But it looks lovely.
No, we won't. Right. It looks Earth will have its revenge.
It looks lovely where you are, and I'm glad you were able to join us anyway. While are you taking a little time for yourself?
Oh, no. I'm here for a meeting, but we came downtown to just, you know, enjoy some local food and take in some of the... There are a lot of tourists here. It's a lot of tourists.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have to call BS. I've been to Key West. It's not big enough to have a downtown. It's like a mile. I was in the office part of town. Come on now, come on. Meeting.
You're at in a hotel. You know.
Okay.
The doctors getting together, talking about doctor stuff, and how we can be better doctors. We're all donating our time, so we might as well do it in a really beautiful location.
Hey,
so that's how we ended up here.
Agreed.
I'll give you that, absolutely. Well, I'm curious, as you were talking to other doctors about doctor things, whether or not this decision in Alabama regarding IVF was a topic of discussion. Has that come up at all?
We haven't started our meeting yet, but everybody is abuzz about this. And I've been talking actually with colleagues in Alabama. They're crushed. Because what this decision does is it gives a fertilized egg, not even like an implanted embryo or a fetus, but just a fertilized egg, more rights than the woman who has been carrying that egg her entire life. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's crazy. I just don't even know where to begin. And it crushes the fertility industry. So if people are wanting to start a family, if they are seeking out help to get these kinds of services, they're not going to be able to get them. The University of Alabama at Birmingham has stopped doing fertility services. My colleagues in OBGYN don't even know how to take care of their patients in these situations or how to counsel them or where to send them. And this is not just a problem in Alabama. My colleagues in Mississippi are scrambling. They know it's coming. When something like this happens in one state, we start to see it popping up in other states. So this should worry every single one of us, certainly those of us who are of reproductive age, but anybody who cares about somebody who is of reproductive age or thinking about starting a family, this is really scary stuff.
Yeah, if you're not quite certain what we are talking about, as Dr. Lively mentioned, the University of Alabama, Birmingham announced yesterday they're pausing in vitro fertilization treatments as it evaluates this recent decision by the Alabama Supreme Court ruling that frozen embryos should be considered children. And as you said, Dr. Lyerly, this essentially gives a fertilized egg in a dish or a right? Because they freeze them, for IVF?
Yeah. So, yeah, what they do now is they take an egg from a woman. So a woman takes a bunch of medication so that they can produce a lot of eggs. They can harvest those eggs from a woman, and then they get sperm from a man. And in the olden days, they would just put them together in a petri dish and, like, let nature do its thing.
Hopefully you'll find each other.
Right? It's like a romantic comedy in a petri dish.
But like a disco.
Now what they do is they actually inject the egg now with the sperm. They've gotten very strategic about it, but they've stopped doing all of that just because of the ethical implications, the legal implications here. Like I said, this is scary. And we know that in infertility treatment, it's been any abortion legislation can make it very tricky to provide infertility treatment. Because what do you do with those? Say you end up with 10 embryos. Maybe you had a great harvest and you've got 10 healthy embryos and they're frozen. Are you going to have 10 pregnancies? Or can you find somebody who will take those embryos? Because a lot of those embryos just are discarded, and there's a very ethical, appropriate way to do that. But now what do you do with that?
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest, as she is every Thursday at this time, and we're talking about the decision by the Alabama Supreme Court, essentially classifying fertilized eggs as humans, even before they're implanted, even before they're even a fetus. This is just a fertilized egg that we're talking about. And from what I understand, Dr. Lyerly, as well, they pulled heavily from the Bible in this ruling.
I don't understand. If you read the ruling, it is very steeped in biblical terminology. And for a country that was founded on the separation of church and state, I'm not a lawyer, but for me personally, I just don't understand how this ruling stands.
The other thing that confuses me is, on the one hand, these same people who implement things like this are also saying, you need to have more babies. We need more babies. Women need to do their duty and have a baby and have as many babies as you can. It's your duty as an American to have babies. These women want these children. And now we're going to stop that option. How does that make sense in this world?
And these are women and family of means who can afford these children, because IVF is not cheap. So these are people who, it just helps us understand that it is not about building families. It is not about healthy babies. It is not about healthy pregnancies. It's about control.
Yes. And I want to remind folks as well, when Roe fell, this was inevitable. And unfortunately, so is coming for birth control, because that's next. This was always the slope that the overturning of Roe was going to bring about. First they came for IVF, next they're going to come for birth control. You're absolutely right. It's not about we love children so much, we love babies so much, we want to take care of women. No, it's about controlling women's reproductive choices.
I'm glad you mentioned birth control, because this is, and we know that this is the playbook, because they have projected this. If Donald Trump is elected, his playbook is to use the Comstock Act, which is just like what happened in Wisconsin. Remember our 1849 abortion ban that is still not totally settled, by the way? Well, there is this Comstock Act that is still on the books, and it would prevent us from having access to contraception. And that is his way of backdooring without getting the Congress involved. He can backdoor by reinstituting this Comstock Act. And I want to remind us all that 99% of us who are sexually active in our lifetime use birth control. 99%. This is not something that affects a handful of people. It affects men. It affects women. It affects every single one of us. This is really, really scary.
Men should be much more involved in this discussion. I think you made a really, really good point about, you're a single guy living a single guy life, and you want to play around a little bit, and she can't use birth control. What are you going to do?
I hear men involved in this discussion, though. I mean, this isn't just something that women are afraid of and guys are like, yeah, no big deal. Men are concerned, too. They understand that this affects them. They understand how wrong this is. And the further these ugly politicians push this agenda, the further they take away our freedoms. This is about freedom. Guys get this. That's why I think they are going to fail. Come November, if we continue to expose how ugly all of this legislation is, all of these acts that they are forcing upon us, and really help people understand that this is a freedom issue, people are concerned about this, and I think we're going to see a lot of changes in the political environment.
We got to keep talking about it, Dr. Lyerly, because every day I see something else that's even more disturbing. Politicians in Oklahoma now want a database of everyone who has had an abortion. What about HIPAA laws? What about privacy laws?
Can you even imagine these people who have life-threatening situations where they can get a legal abortion in Oklahoma will go on this registry? So now, not only have they lost a pregnancy that they most likely desired, wanted to keep, but they lost it. I mean, that's terrible. But now they go on this registry as somebody who's had an abortion. So now there's all that shame and all of the other stuff that goes along with it. Like, no, no. I don't know how they get away with it. But these are the people who are in power. And this is what they are doing to maintain their power, not to act on behalf of the people of the state.
No.
My friends in Oklahoma are shocked by this. You know, they don't know what to do. My friends who are physicians in Oklahoma, again, just like Alabama, they don't know how to take care of their patients. And they're scrambling. They know how to do the medical stuff, but they're scrambling to do it in this environment that just defies logic.
Well, and as we've talked before, more and more physicians and nurses are going to be leaving these states if they are not allowed to use all of their medical training in order to effectively treat their patients. Why would you go? Why would you want to stay in a state where you are limited in your ability to serve your people? That just doesn't make any sense.
We're already seeing it. And we're seeing that trainees are choosing to go to other states as well. We saw it in Wisconsin with the last round of people who were deciding where they wanted to do their training. And that's a big problem for states like Wisconsin, because most of the people who train in Wisconsin will stay in Wisconsin. So we want to create the best environment possible for them so that they get connected here and they continue to serve here. This is why we created the rural residency program for obstetrics residents, so that they can go out and see how awesome it is to practice in rural Wisconsin. Because I guarantee you, as somebody who practices in rural Minnesota, rural medicine is wonderful. But if we don't have people who are wanting to participate in these programs, if they're fleeing to other states, it's not, we are going to lose more and more doctors. We're going to lose more and more services. We've lost half of our rural obstetrical services in Wisconsin in the last 20 years. Actually, more now, since we lost Menominee, we lost Chippewa Falls, we've lost Barron. So yeah, this is not good.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here for our public cervix announcement. When we return, let's talk colonoscopies. You're listening to Matt Mayer on air.
But why?
On the Civic Media Radio Network.
And Duval, they are hustlers.
Good morning, and welcome to Matt Mayer on air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Cool Hand Kelvin on the board in downtown Waukesha. You can always call us. Join the show. Call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon ruined. Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us every Thursday at this time for a public cervix announcement. Dr. Lierley, let's talk colonoscopies.
Let's, shall we?
I'm so excited. I've been putting this off for, I don't know, 14 years. At what age are you supposed to get your first colonoscopy?
It used to be 50, but now it's 45. And part of the reason is that we are seeing more colon cancers in younger people, and we don't know why. So they changed the screening recommendations, and we are also asking more questions about family history. There are cancer-related conditions that you may have in your family that put you at a higher risk. So some people should have screening earlier than the standard screening time.
So what happens during a colonoscopy? Because there's miles and miles and miles of bowels involved.
Jane, you just take a nap and we take care of everything for you.
Just try to relax.
Just try to relax. Okay. Putting a camera where a camera has never gone before, essentially.
But you're not awake for it. So you don't have to worry about that. You get to see the pictures later
if
you want to.
Oh, yay.
And your doctor will tell you all about it. And they may find things like, you know, sometimes they find polyps or cells that don't look normal. Rarely they'll find like a mass or a tumor, and they'll take a little sample of it. Typically, if there is something there that they find unusual, So they can send that to the pathologist, and the pathologist can look at it under a microscope and determine, is this something that we need to be worried about? Is this a precancer? Is it a cancer? So that is essentially what happens during the procedure. It's quick. It's just a few minutes, and you'll wake up having lost about 10 pounds with the prep, feeling amazing.
Really? Really? How do I do this? How do I do this? I gotta, what now?
It's temporary. Don't tell me. It's temporary.
So actually, Papa Rico on the live stream brought up what I think is Cologuard, which is the poop in the box and send it to the, is that a scam? Is that real? Is that good? Is it helpful? I mean, it just seems like the commercials are so charming. You're like, this seems like a scam.
Yeah. It does. You're right. They are charming commercials. By the way, Cologuard developed out of Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
Boom. Wisconsin product. Yeah. I am a fan.
Okay.
I think that especially for people who are really terrified, colonoscopies are invasive. They're scary. I mean, Jane, you've put it off for so long. You are not alone. A lot of people really feel uncomfortable. If you are not a person who is comfortable getting a colonoscopy, which is the gold standard and the thing that is recommended, but Cologuard is better than nothing, and it's actually a very good test. If you have a high risk background, Cologuard is not the best thing for you,
sure.
Because you know the probability that there is something that they will find, they need to be able to look with the camera and be able to take a biopsy if they need it. But for a person who is just doing standard screening, Cologuard is really good.
I mean, here's the thing. For me, I know. See. For the longest time, I always heard, when you're 45, I've heard, when you're 50. Well, I'm 46 now, and even though colon cancer isn't in my family, there are other forms of cancer in my family. And because we've talked about this before on the show, about you taking my blood pressure on the air and talking about it, I think what I'm going to do is, if you don't mind this, Doc, I want to send you an email. I just say, all right, I'm 46. What should I go get appointments for? Colonoscopy, physical, this thing, that thing, whatever, and just clear the decks and maintenance. I'm going to get maintenance.
There you go. Going in for routine right, Dr. Lyerly?
I love that, and I would absolutely do that for you. But anybody who's listening can do that with their primary care doctor. Make your routine preventive care visit, you know, schedule it. And your doctor has a checklist of things that are recommended for somebody your age with your risk factors. They'll look at your family history. Maybe you don't have a history of colon cancer, but maybe your grandmother and your aunt on the same side of the family both had uterine cancer. Well, that could put you at risk of colon cancer.
Yeah.
And families are hard. You know, sometimes somebody had a cancer and you don't really know. People keep things private. So it's sometimes really hard to elicit a good, helpful family history. So the one thing that you can do, that everybody can do, make that appointment with your primary care doctor. They will walk you through all of the recommended things, testing, lab tests, imaging, vaccines, all of those things, and help you get all tuned up. And if you're over 40, it is that much more important.
All right.
Regarding colonoscopies, Dr. Lyerly, how often should you get them? If I go tomorrow and everything is fine, when do I have to go again?
They're going to recommend every 10 years.
Every 10.
If you have a totally normal test, if everything else looks really good, you don't have any scary family history, every 10 years. I had my colonoscopy when I was 50, and they said every 5 because I had a polyp. And it was scary for me, but it was a benign polyp. I don't have a family history. So now I have to go back next year and do it again. And honestly, Jane, the hardest part is the prep.
Yeah, because it's drinking all this stuff. Yeah, it's drinking all this stuff.
Oh, she's been whining about bouillon all morning.
There's nothing more wonderful than chicken broth bouillon cubes. Yummy. Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I've told you this before. My father's a mortician. I'm a worst-case scenario person. What are my chances of death?
100%. 100%.
At some point, 100%. But with the colonoscopy, very, very low. This is a low risk, low risk procedure. There are no incisions. Literally, you are sleeping. You have done all the work in advance by doing the colon prep, and the colon prep is extensive and it's uncomfortable, and you'll be hungry and dehydrated. Drink lots of water.
Okay.
That is really important. I don't know if you know this, but the whole purpose of your colon, at least one of the most important purposes, is to resorb water, resorb moisture. So when you're creating that firm, good, healthy stool in your colon, your body is pulling a lot of that moisture back in where it can reuse it. So when you're doing your prep, you got to stay hydrated because your colon is not functioning the way it's supposed to. And it might seem like you're peeing out of your bottom a little bit. Sorry.
I'm so excited. We'll see you next week, hopefully. Yeah.
Before we go, I just wanted to put Andrew on the live stream said that Fun Kristen goes away and Dr. Lyerly comes out when the shades come off. And he also said to me, Greg, you don't have to wait until Dr. Lyerly comes back from Florida. That's true.
Yes, and he's right.
Texture from the 715 says you got to get a lobster roll from Garbo's before you leave.
Garbo's, got it. Thank you, Texter from the 715.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us every Thursday. Thank you so very much, my friend. Safe travels, and we will see you next week. Stay
Love
with
you guys.
Us.
Enjoy the weather.
News is coming up next when we return. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe will be with us. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Outrageous and the Mango Doctor, Blowfish Ed and Serpent Jeff. We feed our families with the bounty of the sea. It don't get better than that. And we don't have a town drunk. We all take turns. The back room at the 801, the chicken store, and the scrub club is where we live and learn. Woo! Give me a Key West address, a tattooed waitress, and a fish that's bigger than the hole in my net. A good bottle of rum, a fine Cuban cigar, life will take care of the rest. Give me a Key West address. Give me a Key West address. Everybody shares the sunshine.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream if you would like to comment there as well. We do this every other week with our sports guys, and he is the Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Ratcliffe, joining us. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are excellent. Thank you so
good.
Much. Little yeah, basketball, excellent. Little Harlem Globetrotters music as we began the segment. So let's talk basketball. What's going on with our Bucks?
There's many layers to that question. they had an eventful week to say the least. You know, they went into the All-Star break. On a little bit of a down note, they had a really bad loss against Memphis just before the break. Doc Riverson's taking over is 3-7. There's a lot of emphasis on that. I maintain the Bucks have actually gotten quite a bit better in the areas they need to get better with Doc Rivers at the helm. It was a very tough part of the schedule, and they definitely, you know, they struggled. But Damian Lillard had an amazing weekend. He won the three-point competition on Saturday night at the All-Star weekend in Indianapolis. He then won MVP of the All-Star game itself. He scored 39 points. He had a couple half-court shots along the way. It was not a defensive environment. The final score was 211-186.
Wait. The score was what?
It was 211-186. 211 is, yes, a All-Star game record. We've reached the 190s before.
That's sort of like when the Bucks had Adrian as their coach. There's no defense whatsoever. Boom, see, topical sports reference.
Yes. This is a whole other level of not defensing, and it's fine because dudes out there dunking, making half-court shots, being fun. My middle school son loved this game, was still talking about the game on Tuesday. People were wearing Lillard jerseys in church on Wednesday. Like, people are excited if they are young.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot of people like me who are old, crusty sports writers who are like, there's no defense. What has the All-Star game become?
JR, next time you got to be like, there's no defense whatsoever there.
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, that's how I feel. It sounds to me like, I don't care. It's an exhibition game. Let them score 300. Who cares? Whatever. Big weekend for Damian Lillard. It was actually the first time in his career that he has started an All-Star game. With the Blazers, he never got the chance to do that. So I think it was a big deal for him. Yeah. And he looked really good doing it. I think a lot of people are hoping that translates because Lillard has been really, really good. He just hasn't maybe been consistently great the way that I'm sure the Bucks hope he would be, expected he maybe could be. So can he go from this, you know, sort of spotlighted performance to contributing at that level, you know, maybe not 39 points, but like at that level for the Bucks every night where they can kind of turn the corner here and put themselves in position to be, you know, championship caliber team. We haven't quite seen that yet. It's in there. We just, you know, we haven't quite seen it yet this first half.
JR, one of the things I'm noticing when, you know, because I come in the morning and listen to the news reports and the sports, always has an interview with Doc Rivers post game. Mm. And his interviews tend to be either apathetic or just, well, there was one where he was getting guff for blaming the players. I mean, at the end of the day, the players are the one who play the game. If they don't play right, that's up to the coach and the right of the coach to say. But there's no, it doesn't sound passionate. It doesn't even sound like he really wants to be there. Like there's no anger or joy or anything. He's just
kind of flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, well, first of all, Doc Rivers is extremely different from Adrian Griffin in terms of temperament and what you see publicly. And night and day, polar opposites from Mike Budenholzer, who was here before, who was very, keep things close to the vest, doesn't say a lot, kind of uses the same expressions. Doc Rivers is a little bit of a showman. You know, he goes out there and says things that might get him in trouble, like that was the line you're referring to after the Memphis game. Half our team was here, half was in Cabo, very popular NBA vacation destination. And he's basically saying that guys were checked out, and that's pretty aggressive to say when he's only been coaching this team for 10 games. You know, maybe he's been around these players longer, but that is who he is. He is a guy who will lay things out. I don't know if I'd call it transparency. It always feels like if a coach is giving an interview, there's always an edge or an angle to it. Yeah. But he definitely says things that are going to make you raise your eyebrows that you haven't heard from a Bucks coach before. In terms of like the apathy, I don't know if I quite get that vibe. He's been around the block a million times. He has worked with so many. He's worked with 9 Hall of Famers and 9 more guys who are probably going to go into the Hall of Fame. He's really been through this a lot. Quarter century of coaching. I think it's just, I would interpret that a little bit more as just he has seen everything. He's been here before. This isn't the time to get worked up about anything. We are still midway through the season. It's going to matter what happens at the end of the year in the playoffs. So I think it's more like let's just business as usual. We're going to be fine. We're going to fix it. We're going to be fine. He's a character too. Just again, like that's very different from what we've had before. So there might be some adjustment in terms of what Bucks fans are expecting when he sits down for the post game press conference and is giving details that make the players maybe sound like they should have tried harder or something. That's a pretty aggressive tack to take, I'd say.
Which I totally agree with, because one of the things I really am not into as far as, I mean, like I understand when a coach is just not vibing with the team, it's not a good fit. But whenever week by week we're like, fire the coach, I'm like, how about we fire a player? They're not playing too well either. like I believe it's the guy in the field who's not catching the ball. Let's get rid of him. You know, so I get that. And yeah, I'm not against Doc Rivers calling his team out, especially if they're on vacation. And that just makes me wonder who's checking out permanently then for this season, because we were supposed to just come through and dominate with this, with Damian Lillard, with this new team, and Giannis, and everybody. And now it just seems to be, because everyone lives in a 24-hour news cycle, they're like, well, we're not undefeated, so I guess this season's over, I guess. We'll come back next year.
Well, and JR, I think you made a really good point as far as Doc and his lack of enthusiasm or passion or whatever. Like you said, he's been around a really, really, really long time. And so he's not going to get excited or concerned until we get much further into the season, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what we see, the piece that we never really have as fans or as journalists or anything, we don't really know who he's trying to reach. You know, maybe there's a player or two who needs to hear that. Maybe he's got a relationship well enough, good enough with the players that he can say these things and know, you know, what who they're directed to or what, you know, what he's trying to convey. He feels like in that locker room, he has the trust that he can convey that and understand that it's not going to lead to hard feelings or leading to players checking out on the coach. You know, we never know that. I think after the fact, when we do postmortems on teams that go wrong, you kind of like, well, yeah, he probably lost the locker room. But we don't have a reason to feel that way right now or know that way right now. So, you know, I always take it with a little bit of grain of salt. Again, when a coach says something, you know, it's like, okay, we don't know 100% who they're speaking to and what they're trying to convey. So that's it. And I think, you know, he has some very real questions about his postseason track record. And that's going to be hovering over it, whether the Bucks win the rest of their games or lose.
Or not.
Well, if they lose them all, they're not going to be in the playoffs. But they are still in really good shape. They are a top four seed in the East right now. That's where you want to be. And they are. So they need to pick it up a little bit. But I still think they're in pretty good shape to accomplish, you know, to put themselves in position to accomplish what they want to do here going forward.
How many teams are in the East?
How many teams are in the East? Why don't I know that right off the top of my head?
I wanted you to say four.
No, there are not four teams in the East. There are 10 teams that are going to get playoffs, 15 total. I always have to try to remember for some reason with the NBA if it's imbalanced or not, but it's not.
15, stumped the guru.
15 teams, both sides.
Okay.
You need to be in the top 10. 7 through 10 get this like play-in tournament. So the top six teams are guaranteed a spot in the normal regular playoffs. And then 9 and 10 have a single game playoff. Loser goes home. Winner can move up. 7 and 8 play. Winner gets a permanent spot in the playoffs, but 8 then has to bump down. The loser has to bump down to face this team playing up. And the winner of that game gets the last playoff spot, which was important last year when the Miami Heat got it and then beat the Bucks.
And I do want to point out, if you can guarantee me another 200-point All-Star game, I will start watching it.
May I suggest?
It sounds like a Harlem Globetrotter
game.
It really does. It sounds like a lot of fun, actually. It does.
I mean, I don't know why people expect the Harlem Globetrotters and the NBA All-Star Game to be all that different. It's not all that different. It's the same thing. Now, they did something in 2020 that was really interesting called the Elam ending, and it's a little confusing. But basically what ends up happening is they don't play with a clock in one quarter. The first team to get to a certain point threshold is the winner. And if there's a team's up by 5 points going into the fourth quarter, well, this team only the team that's winning only has to score, let's say, 20 points. The team below has to score 25 so there is taking account those first three quarters. That was the most intense defense, incredible all-star basketball you will ever see in 2020. That fourth quarter was incredible. First three quarters, dunks, half-court shots, craziness. But then they really drill down into it. Now, it's still a little confusing, so I think that's why they haven't done it. It's confusing for fans. But, man, that's how you get some really impressive all-star basketball.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is with us. He is the sports guru for the Journal Sentinel, and he joins us every other Thursday at this time. Little baseball, spring training.
Yes. So we're headed into the games. The games are this weekend.
Yes.
Greg's very excited.
I don't ever get too excited about spring training games because they're very strange. That you've got pitchers going an inning and randoms that you've never heard of before are usually playing innings 6 through 9. But like it's still really cool to see it. A lot of that stuff gets broadcast now, so you have a lot of opportunities. The Brewers did just make official a couple signings yesterday. This catcher Gary Sanchez that had not been made official, and it was a question mark whether it was going to happen at all. That's happening. And then Brandon Woodruff, the ace pitcher who's been here a long time, he's going to be out all probably of the next year. Maybe he comes back by the very end, but probably not.
Wow.
He's back on a multi-year deal. So he'll get a small amount of money this year. And then next year, if hopefully he's healthy and he's back to what he has been, he'll be here next year. And then there's an option for both sides, a mutual option to try for a year after that. So that's a really cool thing. Because Brandon Woodruff, first of all, awesome as a pitcher, awesome as a dude, great clubhouse presence, and I think it'd be really nice to have him around even if he's not pitching right away.
There were two things weird about the Brandon Woodruff re-signing was that the news came out and said that Brandon Woodruff had signed again with the Brewers, and then Mark Antanasio came out and said, no, we haven't. And then they said, yes, he has. And then it was done. So that was a very weird, like the front office versus like what's going on there. And also, I gotta say, I didn't know much about Pat Murphy as a bench coach, but that speech that's hitting on video right now, I love that speech, and I didn't think one way or the other about him, but man, let's play for Pat.
We're talking the difference between Adrian Griffin and or previous Bucks coaches and Doc Rivers cannot hold a candle to the difference between Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy. And these guys are very close. They've worked together for a long time, but Pat Murphy is very different experience.
Yeah.
He's going to be that rah-rah guy. He's old school, but also just really fun anecdotes, funny guy. He's a character. Yeah. Right? Brewers fans are really going to like him. As for the machinations of signing, the players have to take a physical for it to be official. Teams get really paranoid about making deals official, even though everyone knows they're going to sign or want to sign this guy. So if it falls apart because of the physical, I don't know. Oh, it fell apart because of the physical. I don't know why it has to be like, well, it's not happening at all until it is. I don't know if there's probably some league rules around that in terms of tampering. I don't know. I don't know why it gets so weird. Everyone knew they were interested in Gary Sanchez. Everyone knew for a couple of days they were interested in Brandon Woodruff, and it looked like it was going to happen. They just needed to cross the T's and dot the I's or whatever.
I'm just still waiting for them to trademark Antanasio. That's,
that's a very complicated financial maneuver, and I am not sure. You know, I you are not alone in wanting that sentiment on a grander scale, but like I will say that there just are not many billionaires that are going to be – you know, that are going to be perfect, to put it mildly. Like, everybody's got their things. So I would it's all about
how dare you know. Say the class who will save us aren't perfect.
Yeah, it's a little bit about the devil you know. Yeah. That's all. That's my advice to those who are looking to move on.
It's true.
All right. Always a pleasure to see you. Journal Sentinel J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. Thanks a lot, J.R. We will see you in a couple weeks. Take care.
Sounds good. See you then, guys.
Stay close. One more break to go. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Busy, busy show today.
Yeah, but fun.
It really was a lot of fun and so many calls and so many texts. And if you watch on the live stream, there's a whole separate party going on over there. And
oh, my goodness.
I did want to respond. This is apropos of absolutely nothing. But this came up in the live stream comments with Papa Rico. We were talking about Speed Racer, which is an old cartoon that not very many of us remember.
I mean, I remember it.
But, well, I was, yeah, this was Papa Rico on my, this was our growing up, you know, after school TV. And he asked me about a character, because I remember Trixie from Speed Racer, and I couldn't remember the name of the monkey, and I had to look it up, and it's Chim Chim. So I did put that in the comments there, Papa Rico, but I think you missed it.
It's because it's so chatty today in
the chat. There's a lot going on. And we were talking earlier to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's here every Thursday. I'm getting my first ever colonoscopy tomorrow. Oh, yay. And Lisa in Middleton sending me some love listening on WMDX. Jane, woman up and get the colonoscopy. You can do this. Your listeners got your backside.
Yeah, because the listeners love Jane.
Well, that was really sweet. I really appreciate that. Want to remind you to be listening for the wonderful and really, really busy Todd Alba.
Oh, my gosh.
He is the busiest civic media host, certainly of the week.
Yeah.
He's been all over the place. He's been filling in for Pat Kreitlow.
6 to 8.
6 to 8. And then he is doing noon to 3. He is in Hayward all this week. He's there for the Birkebeiner, which is going to happen this weekend. So take a listen to Todd from noon to 3 o'clock today and find out what's happening on there. And then if you want to hear more coverage, because it is happening this weekend.
Yep.
You can get live updates from Cable Wisconsin this Saturday. Listen to James Sattel right here from 9 to 11 with Morning Cannolis. We're going to have some live updates from Gray and Big G from the Berkey. That is on Saturday between 9 and 11 a.m.
Also, Todd Alba single-handedly decorated the studio.
You said it looks so nice.
It looks gorgeous. So after the show, we should tune into their live. Just take a look. It looks like an inviting morning talk show. There's candles. There's wood on the side for the wood pile for the.
Is there a fireplace?
There's a fireplace and a shower. So angry about the shower.
Obviously, we need a shower in Waukesha. I am off tomorrow.
Where are you going?
I'll be unconscious.
Oh.
So what's coming up on tomorrow's Matt and Air on Air, Greg Bach?
Oh, my goodness. On tomorrow's Matt and Air on Air, I'm hosting it. That's what I'm doing right there. I got Fancy Brian's back.
Fancy Brian, twice in a week.
First half hour, or maybe the full hour. I don't know. He's invited to stay as long as he likes.
He is a busy man.
He's a busy man, and he's got things to do. And then 10:30, we'll have Dan Schaefer on for the recombobulation area. We'll be talking about maps.
Yeah, lots of map news.
Lots of map news happening today. We're going to let him take care of that. Then Tracy Douglas, who is the president of what's called the Hair Forge. It's a company right here in Wisconsin that does wonderful stuff for hair accessories for men to allow them to express themselves with their long hair, like I have long hair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, options fashion-wise, but they were, I believe, featured at the Grammys this year.
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
And we're going to talk to them about how they do, how they're doing and what they're up to and being a Wisconsin business beyond the cheese. So, and then finally, I always love having him here, Mr. Matt Miller from Milwaukee.
Yes.
And I always feel like when Matt and I talk, Jane's always like, hey, could you guys, like, shut up for a second? Well, the gloves are off. It's Matt and me, and well, I'm going to complain a lot about Madam Web. So, tune in tomorrow from 10 to noon as I will be hosting just helping out, because that's what I'm here for.
Because I'll be unconscious.
You'll be unconscious.
And I appreciate that.
And we'll have Sweet Cal B on the board. And Calvin did bring up a point. Speed Racer had a really terrible live action movie come out years ago. Yeah, that's right. That's why. You're looking around trying to remember it.
I never heard of that.
Yep. So
Calvin, did you watch it?
Of course he watched it. Look at Kelvin. That guy watched Speed Racer.
I looked it up. It came out in 2008. Yeah. I was, around 10 years old. I saw it in the theater and then kind of never thought about it again.
That should be on the poster. See it. Never think about it again.
But I would think as a 10-year-old, you could apply that same logic to many things.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
And Andrew in Maine, thank you very much. He said, we like you too, Greggles.
Oh, that's very nice. You're going to do a great job.
It's going to be fun.
And you've been doing some afternoons.
I'll be doing that today, actually. Three to four. 3 to 4 I'll be hosting right here in WAUK. I'm going to be talking about the inability of Americans to properly take vacation and vacate from their jobs when they need a break. And that's an important issue to talk about. And we'll be talking about, I'll have a wonderful Anya producer Anya on the boards with me. So I'm sure we'll have
great.
A nice discussion as well. And, Jeff Sitzma. That was hard to say. I'm sorry, Jeff. Jeff says Queer Eye would have a field day with Greg. I think they'd say, Greg, girl, you're as beautiful as you need to be. So that's it.
I don't know, Jeff. You can always write a letter.
I would never allow that to happen.
I wouldn't.
I'll tell you why. I think I love that show. I watch every season. I cry almost every episode. There are people out there who do way more in society, have a bigger impact on culture, who deserve the upgrades, whether it's spiritually, physically, their home, the place they work at. They deserve it more than I do.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you. Wow. Feeling all warm and squishy now.
That's actually the bouillon that you're drinking, the chicken bouillon.
That's my colonoscopy prep. Yeah. That's what it is. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, today for calling and listening and texting and leaving comments on the live stream. It means the world to us. It genuinely does. And I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.